The sound you can hear is the sound of a kettle, slowly rising in temperature, so that it will whistle, with any luck, at boiling point. And at that moment, the water will be ready to be poured into a couple of cups, and we will have our morning teas or coffees, depending on personal taste. It's the 28th of April 2026. It's coming up to 8 o'clock in the morning. Julia and I have been up since 6. I've been out for a little stroll around. Not much of one. We had rain last night. When I say rain, I mean, so I'm just crunching on a crust of a piece of toast. When I say rain, we had a mini thunderstorm. It lasted about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And the rain was surely needed. Sorely needed.
Surely and sorely needed.
Yes, both of those. Change the spelling according to your requirement. Anyway, yesterday was so dry as a bone. The pond was so empty, it was a puddle. That I thought, do you know what? I'm going to now take advantage and dig it deeper. And when I got to Australia, the spade fell through. It's about another foot, half of it anyway, is about another foot or so deeper. And the clay in the bottom of the pond was easy enough to sink the spade into. The issue was, where the pond is on clay, there's about a couple of inches deep of very soft sediment clay. And that sediment clay was like quicksand, not in as much as I was sinking to oblivion, but I could not get my boots, because I was in wellies, I could not raise my feet. They were sucked in, and it was a real effort to move in anywhere. Up went the boot, like this, to the point that you could actually lift your foot and the boot would just slip off. It was ridiculous. So, anyway, I made some headway. I was digging one of the words. Here it goes, look, here's the kettle. But we won't let it go too long because we're going to waste the gas, you see. We know it's boiling now. So I dag. I've done it again.
I dag.
As kids do that, don't they? They get the sense that you put ED on the end of words in the past. But the past, is it the past participle?
I claim it's here right now. I had a friend when I was 20 who... He used to say for the past tense of jump was jamp.
He jamped.
It wasn't jumped, it was jamp.
He jamped.
He would not believe us that was wrong.
And it's funny, English is a strange language, isn't it? You just have to learn that certain words don't have the ED, and you go, well, why is it that some do and some don't? And there is no real reason, is there? It's just convention, I suppose. Convention. Anyway, just managed to move something so I can sit down. Are you having tea or coffee?
Me?
Well, you're not having coffee because you don't like coffee.
I was going to say, that's a weird question.
I know. What I meant was, are you having a cup of tea?
Or a cup of tea.
Or a cup of tea.
I'm having a cup of tea.
Yes. What am I having? I'll have another coffee. So yesterday I was digging the pond, got about an hour and a half into it. Quite exhausting. It was such a hot day after a number of hot days, and we've been blessed with that hot weather, which has meant that we could get on and do things. But at the back of my head and the foremost of my mind was this issue that was never ending. Is the plants were withering and we were running out of water. We've been bringing water to the land on our commute. And these occasions where we've been able to stay, thank goodness that we've been able to stay, otherwise they would have withered away. But we'll be heading off shortly, so there will be more open to the elements. However, it is a dull, cooler day, so I feel a bit more confident that the plants will be able to survive. Also, we're talking to our friend about getting some access to water. Now, I did a curious thing yesterday.
Curious.
I haven't poured yours because you haven't put your spoon of joy in. Here we are. Thanks. That's the spoon you had before. So, right, let me just plonk myself down in this lovely caravan, little chair, little dine. Is it, what do they call it? A dinette? This area. Yes. Anyway, so I was getting desperate yesterday, and I did almost, not quite, get on my hands and knees and said to the universe, please, can we have some rain? Please. And I looked up at the sky, not barely a cloud, hot sun, 33 degrees in the little potting poly. Up until about 6 o'clock, it was still bleeding hot in there, and the plants were withering. We were running out. There was no water in the pond. It was now just a slurry pit. And so I got a bit desperate. Now, fairly near here is a public tap. And I found it on the internet, a public tap. So you know when walkers go on their walks and things, every now and again there is a little public tap. So I went to one of these. There's an app that shows where you can get these things. And I was just so desperate, so I went up there with the container, filled it up and came back. It was a silly thing, really. But I just thought, well, what are we going to do? Anyway, when I came back, I watered the best I could from the results of this little canister of water. I mean, it makes it sound like we're in the desert, you know. I rode in the desert on a horse with no name. I needed a bucket, and I found nothing the same. And anyway, and then we got ourselves organised, and we were getting ourselves ready for bed, and it was getting dark, and then suddenly there was this sort of foreboding rumbling, and the clouds came in. Well, the clouds, I couldn't see the clouds, I don't know why I said that, the clouds came in. I couldn't see them.
But
so
we heard the clouds come in.
Yes.
With the rolling thunder.
The rolling thunder. And then suddenly, flash! Da! Leader of the universe. There was a strike of lightning. And soon after, rain. And my goodness, we were rejoicing in the caravan. We were rejoicing. And you couldn't have asked it, really, at a better time. And you couldn't have asked, you know, because it was at night time and not in the middle of the day. So that it didn't... what's that thing where it acts like a magnifying glass and singes the plants?
Burns them.
And so anyway, for about a couple of, well, an hour and a half, I reckon, we had a good downpour, and then it probably just drizzled and fizzled away. But by which point there was enough. But I took a stroll out this morning, and the ground, of course, is still cracked. There wasn't enough rain to saturate the ground, but it gave the plants, apart from those in the polytunnel, of course, which haven't had any, but they had a dowsing, as I say, yesterday. But what was interesting, I think the interesting thing about all of this was the fact that the weather forecast had not said that it was rain when I last looked. Not that I take any serious notice of the weather forecast, as Julia says. That's just them telling us what we're going to get as they manipulate the weather. And I tend to agree with her. You know, they just tell you, here's the plan. You're not having any rain for weeks. However, I think, and I know this sounds preposterous, but I asked, there is a really strong, nasty smell of poo in here.
In there?
Yes.
So I just cleaned out a poo.
Oh, cat poo. Yes, because I do, it's like I asked for some rain And I made this ridiculous journey to, you know, as a last ditch attempt. And it was, we were speaking about this last night, and it was almost as if the universe turned round and said, you really do need rain, don't you? Look at you, you silly bald git, going off and trying to find water in any sort of way you could. And there it was. It came and rolled in and saved the day. The point really, what I'm trying to get to, is one does have to trust the universe. You can call it the universe if you wish. You can call it God. You could call it the creator. You could call it
the source of all.
The source of all. You could call it...
Bob.
Bob.
I'd like to call it Bob, actually. Yes. Now on, if you don't mind.
One has to trust Bob. And I think that's something that we forget. That we worry. And I think if you... They say this in the... Well, I don't know if they say it in the Bible, but a lot of people say, you know, trust in God. If you give your... What is it? Your faith to God, he will look after you. Now, I don't see God as an exterior source, you know, an outside thing. I don't really see God in the way of the Bible, and I wouldn't say I was really convinced that the Bible, there may be some sort of folklore truths, if you like, in the Bible. Some people go criticise me for that, but I can't see. I tend to agree with Christopher Hitchens, in which if God was an outside source, you know, man with a beard in the sky type thing, and after 100,000 years of man being roaming around the town of the planet.
Oh, all the way back.
Oh yeah, and yeah, if man had been around for 100,000, then just 2,000 years ago, he's watched man, you know, make a mess of things.
Flounder
and all that. And then 2,000 years ago, he decides, oh, I'll better interfere and tell them I'm here and that I'm a thing and this is the code of life and this is how you should live your life, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes to, as Christopher Hitchens calls it, what does he call them? They are... effectively Iron Age man, you know, right at the beginning of
not prehistoric
but they're sort of an Iron Age period of time,
yeah.
2000 whatever it was, you know, just before the Romans and all of this. And I'll go to the Middle East at the poorest, most ignorant, less civilized people in the world, rather than those that had cities and building things and what have you. And he'll go, I'll go to the most ignorant, illiterate people. That's what he says, I think. I'll go to them and reveal myself. I'll, you know, create this man. And instead of... And he says, of all the places in the world that you would send your son to enlighten people would be the most illiterate, in which people would have very little concept of what it is you're trying to say. And that's, you know, what it's his argument. And I think there's merit to that. Why would you do it in the middle of the, in the Middle East type, you know? Anyway, I don't know where I was going with all that now. I've lost it, lost the thread. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's early in the morning. Didn't sleep terribly well.
It wasn't my fault.
Hey. Wasn't your fault. I do think you know, you have to give yourself up, not up, but just give faith. And I think we tend to worry, don't we? All the time we worry. And I think our worries often bring about the very thing we worry about.
Manifested, which,
which is why I don't watch the news. I don't watch the narrative. So I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't worry about it. I can't bring it to me because I don't even know what it is. I don't listen to the narrative anymore. So my worries, if they are such, is we need water. And so yesterday, almost on my bended knees, I was saying, please, universe, could you give me some water? And I made the sort of down payment, if you like, of going and finding some water and saying, if I'm on my own, or we're on our own, in order to survive and keep our plants alive, I'll have to go and find somewhere where I can get water, a public tap on a footpath. And this tap was right next to the footpath. And I was amazed to see it was there. And it was working. And that there was water coming out of it after all this weather. Because, you know, these things often were there many years. There's one on the South Downs Way near where we live, which is why I know about them. And every now and again, you'll stumble across them. We also have them down on the seafront in Worthing, where you can get water for the dog, or you can get water to wash yourself, as in clean water, not salt water. Anyway, and I think that is a sort of down payment, and the universe looked kindly on us. Anyway, you may think that's a load of old nonsense, and of course it may be. So I'm just lighting my pipe now with my coffee. But I think there is something in that.
Well, so do I. I feel like we've had some evidence of that.
I mean, of all the days, the coincidences are too big, too great, I think, for it just to have... We were so desperate. We were at the end of our... I mean, I was at the end of my tether.
Were literally pulling the very last hair out of your head, weren't you?
I was. My tether has never been ended. I was at the end of my wits. My poor old wits were collapsing. I forget the line exactly from One Way Pendulum, in which Mr. Grooms Kirby says, I was at the end of my wits, and the judge turns around and says, and I'm going to not get this 100% right, which end of your wits were you at? Or something like that. You know, you have us believe that you were at the end of your wits, but you haven't told us which end of the wits you were at. Theatre of the Absurd with One Way Pendulum by N.F. Simpson. A brilliant film, but it was originally a stage play, but a brilliant film with Eric Sykes and a number of others. What's his name? Who went off to do science and so, what's his name? It was the young Groom Kirby. He always used to gesticulate a lot, whose hands were too loud for the deaf. I can't remember his name now. It'll probably come to me. Peggy Mount, of course, is in it. Peggy Mount, how can anybody not like very loud Peggy Mount? She was the lady that would come round and eat all the scraps that people couldn't eat. You know, so they would be buying, I don't know, things like cornflakes. And I can't remember the exact text, but it's something along the lines, why do they put them in such big packets when you can't get to eat them all? So you have to have somebody to come round and finish off your food. And she's sitting there finishing off the ham and finishing off these... It's Theatre of the Absurd. And N.F. Simpson was kind of, you know, one of a small number of writers who were writing nonsense. I suppose Edward Lear is it that started that sort of thing with his little rhymes and things, and maybe others. C.S. Lewis, wasn't it, who wrote Jabberwocky? It was brillig and all the... Oh, gosh, I know this now. I can't bloody remember. Oh, we're getting brighter skies. Twas brillig. And all his slithy toes did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the burrow groves and the moan wraths outgrabe. Great poem. Beware the Jabberwock, my son. And so on and so on. Anyway, so it's a bit dull this morning, but I think the sun might break through. I want to break through, says the sun, which is very good. So I'm going to set up my pipe, I'm going to finish off my coffee, and these will be uploaded after the event once I'm back, of course. And as somebody had emailed me, I think it was Holly, who said, she thanked me by email for the one the other day, where the first one where I walked around and you heard the bird song, and I said, oh, thanks very much for feedback. It's always nice to know that they're appreciated. And I said, sorry for the delay in getting them up. And she said, oh, well, that's all right. Absence makes the heart grow fonder type thing. You know, when you miss, when you haven't got something. I think that's, we're in a, and that's an interesting concept in itself, isn't it? That we're in a world where everything is available and people don't have to wait anymore. Do you remember in the old days, Doctor Who? Do you remember those?
No.
No, never heard of it. Never heard of it. Started in 1963. Anyway, Doctor Who always used to, like so many programmes, of course, of that ilk, used to end on a cliffhanger. And you had to wait a week. Because people don't wait a week now. They can download the whole series and binge on it. And it's interesting there, isn't it, that we, everything's available instantly, we don't wait, and so therefore our tolerance, I think, is reduced, because we go, well, why can't I have it now? I want it now. We've turned into little children. We are all adolescents again. We used to be able to wait for things, but we can't wait now. We can't wait, and we feel entitled. Well, I want it now. I want it now. I should have it now. Why can't I have it now? I want it all. You know, people used to have life really rough. But we've got it all. We've got it all and we still complain, don't we? Because we don't value what we have got. Julia and I have been watching an old 1970s series, All Creatures Great and Small, with Christopher Timothy and Robert Hardy and Peter Davison, who went on to be a Doctor Who. See, there's a connection here, all of this. And actually, Peter Davison, I once drove in a car when he was Campion in a later series. Funny that I was a extra on a TV series, Campion, and I was the driver, and he sat next to me, and I had to do this emergency stop for a scene, and I nearly ran the bloody camera crew over, but that's another story. We watch these old Creatures Great and Small, but we could just sit there and watch one after another after another after another, but we don't. We wait. They're on YouTube. You can watch them. They're good fun. A bit of the old days, set in the 1930s, late 30s, before the war, 1937, I think it is. And I remember watching them as a kid. But I don't remember any of it, as in the storylines. It's funny to watch them now. But, we could binge watch them, but we don't. Because we're holier than thou, you see, ladies and gentlemen. Holier than thou. And on that note, I shall light my tobacco and get that nicotine into me, because I'm holier than thou. Take care, lovely audience, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and I'll talk to you soon. Toodle-pip.